not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment which is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they have been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let's pray, dear Lord God. Thank you for every soul here right now, Lord, and your church, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor. Pray that you bless him and fill him with the Spirit right now as he preaches your word unto us. And just give him this attentiveness of hearing, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in 1 John chapter 2 this evening. And the title of my sermon tonight is Becoming a Formidable Opponent. Becoming a Formidable Opponent. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare tonight, just as a reminder to our church of the battle that we are in as Christians. And to make sure that as believers, as a church, we're being vigilant, we're understanding this subject of warfare, of this spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare that we're in on a constant basis. And so many Christians today know little to nothing about spiritual warfare. And even if they're aware of the concept of spiritual warfare, they often take this superstitious view of that spiritual battle. You know, I think of like social media, for example. You know, if there is some sort of video circulating of a person seeing a ghost or some sort of demon or something like that, you know, you'll have people in the comments section that will often say, I claim no negative energy. you know, from this video. How many of you have seen something like that? You know, I claim no negative energy in the name of Jesus. And they literally think that, first of all, that video is real. Okay, which, you know, come on. A lot of it is just like CGI. It's manipulated. But people are willing to believe anything. And secondly, let's say it was real. Do you really think that it will actually do anything by not claiming any negative energy or by invoking the name of Jesus Christ to protect you from the screen or something like that? You know, it's obviously nonsense and it's superstitious. But even on top of that, you know, people can also have this view where just by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, you know, the shadow people will go away and the demons will depart and you won't struggle with addictions or whatever it may be. So even people who are clearly aware that there is a battle taking place in the spiritual realm, they don't even know what they're doing. And most of them don't even understand that they're actually a part of the problem when it comes to spiritual warfare. They are actually perpetuating the lies that Christian churches, so-called, have promoted in how to fight Satan and how to fight demons. Let me explain to you this evening what it means to become a formidable opponent. And I honestly believe that Satan laughs at people like that. And, it, you know, they're a joke to him because, you know, he doesn't really take them serious because they're not really doing anything to promote the kingdom of God. And in fact, I would assert that many of them are essentially giving Christianity a bad name. And they're confusing more people with their doctrines and their practices because they don't know what they're talking about. Now, we'll come back to 1 John chapter 2 in just a bit. But turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6 by way of introduction. And verse number 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." It says, "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And I want you to notice that the Bible consistently encourages believers to get involved in a fight. Not a physical fight, not a fight with flesh and blood, but this is obviously referring to a spiritual battle. And the Bible characterizes the Christian life by warfare. It's telling us to fight this fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So we see here, according to these two passages, that the Christian life shouldn't be a passive life. You just kind of take it laying down and let, you know, whatever happens, happens. No, apparently, according to the Bible, we're supposed to be the aggressors in this world. We're supposed to charge hell with a squirt gun, so to speak, and fight the demonic forces, not literally, but in a spiritual manner. And the Bible says that this is a good fight, meaning that there's some fights out there that Christians are fighting that are not good. You know, they're not affecting anything. They're not tearing down the kingdom of Satan. They're not making a dent in this spiritual world. They are inferior battles that Christians get involved in. And the Bible's telling us that we should get involved in the good fight of faith, okay? Let me read to you from Jude, verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And what Jude is saying here is that believers should get involved in the fight. And earnestly contend means you should earnestly fight. You should be active in your contention against false doctrine, against the wiles of Satan. And in this particular context, it's actually referring to church, okay? And the reason that's important is because, you know, sometimes I'll get up here and I'll preach against a specific false doctrine or religion, and then you'll have people, not necessarily in church, but outside of church, say, "Oh man, you're just being contentious. Why don't you just preach the gospel? Why don't you just preach Christ and Him crucified? You're always focusing on reprobates and the LGBT or whatever it may be." But according to this passage, the Bible's telling us to earnestly contend for the faith. And then he says this, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Now, crept in where? Into churches. "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So according to this passage, what Jude is warning the reader about is the potential infiltrators that can come into a church to try to mislead and deceive the flock of God. And therefore, it's important for us to be on our toes, pay attention to doctrine, and fight that good fight of faith, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Because if you're not doing that, people can come in and teach all kinds of weird stuff, and you can be deceived. You know, and this phrase, crept in unawares, reminds me of a story, okay? And this is before we started the church, and I don't know if this is the best example, but I think it does kind of represent what I'm trying to talk about here. I remember before we started the church, Brother Marcos and I, we were sowing in the city of Montebello, and we're going through these apartments. I can't remember if they're apartments or condos or something like that. And we're knocking on doors, and then there's this door, and he starts knocking, and he just kind of looks, and he opens the door, right? And there's stairs, so he's thinking in his mind, oh, this is the stairway to the other apartments. So him and I are there, and we just start walking upstairs, and we're just kind of talking. We're just like, and then finally we start reaching the top, and there's like people there, and there's like a house there, and there's like a family there, and there's like stuff there. And we're like, oh, man, we just like walked into someone's house. Now, first of all, lock your doors. You know what I mean? Like, who just leaves their doors unlocked like that? But, you know, Marcos crept in unawares. And I think we ended up just, I think we got so nervous that we just ended up just like leaving. Okay. But, you know, obviously, that you know, he was doing the right thing as far as like sowing is concerned. However, you know, from a spiritual perspective, there are people who try to creep into church to try to portray themselves to be a Christian, but the Bible says that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And churches have done a disservice to their congregations when they're not training their people to watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing, these false prophets. They're not aware of this impending danger of people who try to come in. And people think, well, you know, people are just misled or they're just a little confused. No, the Bible says we need to be aware that there's certain individuals that creep into churches with the intention to mislead the flock. And if you have your head in the sand and think that that's not true, then you should step down from being a pastor and go do something else. Go be some like student counselor or something like that. Because the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And part of that is defending the faith, making sure that we're fighting to keep the right doctrines and keeping our ear to the ground so that people are not leading others astray in their faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So a marker of whether you are reading the Bible, you're walking in the Spirit, you are a man or a woman who's keeping the law, is that you're contending for the faith. You understand? You're contending for the faith and you're contending against those who are praising the wicked. So you know what I see when I see pastors in churches who are praising unsafe people? They are lifting up false prophets. These are people who have forsaken the laws of God. Because reading the Bible keeps these truths on the forefront of our minds, and we're not going to just make excuses for John MacArthur or something like that and just say, oh, he's just a little misled or whatever it may be. You know, we're going to recognize this person's in direct violation of the Bible. I'm going to contend with this individual for this particular doctrine, okay? The Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says, for when we were in Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. And I don't think the Apostle Paul is talking about physical brawls, because I don't think he was a brawler. I think what he's referring to is the fact that there were spiritual bouts outside, you know, against false prophets, warring against the pawns of Satan who are trying to mislead people. And the point that I'm making is the fact that the Christian life is a fight, okay? And Christians need to get involved in the fight, not throw in the towel, recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. So how do you become a formidable opponent? An opponent against Satan and his wiles so that you're not living a defeated life. Well, go back to 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2. The first thing I want you to see here is the young men, okay? And in verse 13, it says that the young men have overcome the wicked one. And when you look at that phrase, that's a pretty awesome achievement. Because the wicked one is obviously referring to Satan. And it says that it's the young men who have overcome the wicked one. This is victory. This is him, her, just being able to overcome a young man, a young woman being able to overcome the temptations of Satan, fighting against Satan. And according to the Bible, God is accrediting them and saying they've overcome that wicked one, Satan. But verse 14 gives us some more clarity on how that was done. It says in verse 14, towards the latter end, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Now, let me just clarify here. This doesn't mean physically strong, okay? And I'm not against young men being physically strong. I think that's important, too. But far more important than being physically strong is being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? Because there's a lot of people and young men out there who are physically strong, but they're spiritually weak, okay? You know, they might be able to lift very heavy, and they're extremely well put together, and they can deadlift 600, 700, or squat a crazy amount. But I guarantee you, you know, they've been deceived by Satan. They believe in some sort of false doctrine if they're involved in false religions or whatever it may be. This is obviously referring to spiritual strength. He says, because you are strong, and I want you to notice here, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So the first point that I want to make here is that in order to become a formidable opponent, you have to possess the right weapon. Which is what? The Bible. Too many Christians, and obviously I'm speaking from the perspective of social media, because I think social media is a reflection of a lot of what's going on in the world. I'm not saying that there's not deception taking place there, but you know what? There's a lot of Christians on social media. A lot of different types of Christians on social media. And a lot of it is super cringe. Okay? It is like apostate Christianity. And the vast majority of them, even though they claim the name of Christ, they don't even know what the Bible says. You know, they're claiming that they're fighting Satan and they're fighting Satan's minions and all these things. But folks, they don't know the Bible at all. They can't quote you the Bible. They don't know what the Word of God says. They're just trying to get their views and inspire people to fight against Satan, not even knowing that they're really, at the end of the day, in the clutches of Satan because of their ignorance of the Scriptures. And, you know, I can't emphasize this enough, that how important it is for us as Christians to know the Word of God. And I'm not saying you have to have a super in-depth understanding of the Bible, but you are a Christian. You know, you do have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You should have a basic understanding of the Word of God and to be able to wield that sword when confronted with the wiles of Satan, okay? And so possessing the right weapon. And look, let me just say that obviously, you know, we're talking about the Word of God, but let's get more specific, the King James Bible, okay? Not the Super Soaker of the NIV or the ESV. You know, we're just joking outside. We're talking about the Chosen. And someone was asking me about The Chosen, what I thought about The Chosen, and obviously, you know what I think about The Chosen. But I made this comment, and I believe it to be true 100%. I literally believe that you will benefit more from reading the NIV than watching The Chosen. I think you actually benefit more from reading the ESV than watching The Chosen. And you know what? But there's people out there, and I'm not even for those Bibles. Those Bibles are toilet paper. Which makes you think, what would I compare The Chosen to? Okay. But at the end of the day, you know, there's Christians out there that get their doctrine from The Chosen. Yeah. And they think they're making like a huge impact in this world or something like that because they're supporting some Mormon who's, you know, directing, or some Catholic who's directing this show under the canopy of Mormonism. Yeah, right. And somehow they're making a huge difference because they're watching the entire series or something like that. It's nonsense. They're losing the battle. Yeah. You know, Satan has them deceived into thinking that they're really living the Christian life by watching some commie Jesus who does not represent the Bible. Right. There's no doctrine in those shows. It's complete blasphemous and nonsense and crap, yeah. Right? Amen. Oh, but I guarantee you there's tons of Christians and maybe even Christians who are saved who love that show. But you know what that tells me? It tells me they don't have the right weapon in their arsenal. I guarantee you, they're not waking up in the morning reading a King James Bible and asking the Lord, open down mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, they're going to wherever they're showing The Chosen, and they want to see wondrous things out of that show. Because to them, that's like a substitute. And you know, before we get on them, even though obviously that's bad, you know, I guarantee you there's Christians who may reject The Chosen, but they're opening up a commentary. They're opening up a Jewish encyclopedia. Which, by the way, I think is still better than watching The Chosen. Pretty much anything. I think it's more profitable for you to read Harry Potter than to watch The Chosen. I think it's more profitable to watch Harry Potter than to watch The Chosen. You say, why? Because at least you know Harry Potter is just fantasy and fairy tale. You know, whereas people literally think that what's taking place in The Chosen is actually what took place in the Bible. They don't compare Scripture with Scripture. And so possessing the right weapon is super necessary. Having a King James Bible, using the Word of God, becoming familiarizing yourself with the sword of the Lord. Look at 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is where it starts, folks. And you know what? I know that knowing the Bible amongst Christians is not the most glamorous thing, because people are more concerned with and they're more impressed by quotes from church fathers or what history says or whatever it may be. Who gives a rip about that when it comes to spiritual matters? You know, there's entire accounts dedicated to showing how the Catholics are wrong because the church fathers said this. Those church fathers are probably dead too and probably in hell. We don't know. Because history changes. You know, the one thing that doesn't change is the Bible. Amen. And so that's why I only stick with the Word of God. And, you know, who makes history? Those who win. But the Word of God will never change. We can place our faith in the Word of God and know that it, you know, it can withstand the test of time. It has withstood the test of time. And it is profitable. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Paul, the apostle, telling Timothy here, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." So he's saying the prophecies, the preaching that you've heard, that went before on thee, and you're supposed to use the knowledge that you received to war a good warfare. Get involved in the fight, Timothy. He says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." You know what happens when Christians stray away from reading the Bible and learning the Word of God? They start doing some really weird, blasphemous things. Yeah. You know, I think of, like, recently I saw on social media of a pastor getting up, and he was, he wanted to read from a Gen Z Bible. I mean, you've seen what I'm talking about. It's like a Gen Z Bible, and it has all the Gen Z lingo or whatever, cap and whatever, and, you know, I don't remember what story it was. Does anybody remember what story he was reading from? Luke 1. Luke, you would know, huh? Christian would know. Oh, it was about Mary. That's right. It was about Mary, and it was some of the most blasphemous things you would ever hear, but yet he's reading this in his church, and his church is loving it. And he thought it was really cool too, because, you know, he's like, you know, he's relating to the young people. Folks, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. Super blasphemous. That pastor is wicked as hell. Yeah. And he is clearly displaying the fact that he doesn't know the Bible and he has no reverence for the Bible.
Right.
You know, in order to be in a spiritual battle, you have to know your sword, use your sword, and have the right sword, which is the King James Bible. And this is why it's important on a practical level that you read the Bible every single day.
Amen.
Hey, we're in February. Have you been reading the Bible every single day since January 1st? Are you keeping up with your Bible reading, or have other things taken the priority over you walking with God? Right? It's important. And you say, well, you know, I kind of fell off, I'm a little behind, then pick it back up, because you're in a spiritual battle.
Amen.
We don't have the luxury of just taking a break from our Bible reading and having this mentality, well, someone else will fight for me. No, you have to fight. You're supposed to get involved in the good fight of faith. And if you're not reading the Bible, you're being defeated. Okay? You're not helping the cause of Christ. We have enough ignorant Christians out there, enough Christians who don't know the Bible, enough Christians who don't know doctrine, enough Christians who don't have the discipline to read the Bible. Stop joining them. Stop being a part of the problem. Become a part of the solution by reading the Word of God. Okay, and you know what? Get ahead on your Bible reading. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, instead of turning on your stupid Xbox, your stupid video games, and everything else that's wasting your time, why don't you turn on the iPad with the King James version of the Bible on it and just read that instead, if you have to be on an electronic or something like that. I find that today people make excuses for why they can't read the Bible, but these excuses are just a bunch of time wasters. And they're not. And you know why people do that? It's because of the fact that they don't realize they're in a battle. You know, if you have five guys coming at you with weapons, and there's one sword on the ground, I mean, and you had nowhere to run, it's the only thing you could do is fight. You pick up that sword and start flinging that thing around. And let me just say this. What if they all came at you with plastic forks and you had a sword in your hand? Would you run or would you fight? We'd be like, you guys are done. But you know what? A lot of Christians, in the plastic forks, what does it represent? It represents the wiles of Satan that's making you think that he can defeat you. But you know, a lot of Christians, the sword is right there, but their little forearm is too weak to pick up that sword because they haven't been practicing by reading it on a weekly and daily basis. So even if they wanted to fight, they couldn't pick up the sword because their forearms are too weak. Folks, it's important that as Christians, we get involved in the spiritual battle. And you know what? You may not be in a severe spiritual battle today, but you better pick up the sword so you get your spiritual muscles ready for it. Because a fight is coming to you one day. And there's plenty of Christians out there who they've neglected their Bible reading, they're neglecting scripture memory, they're neglecting walking with God, and then the fight comes to them, they can't even pick up the sword because they're too weak. They can't read a portion of scripture because it's just too much for them. Because they develop too much laziness in their life to actually crack open the Bible and pay attention to what they're reading. Folks, it's the truth. You know, get serious about the Christian life and start reading the Word of God. And you know what? It's great to read a couple chapters, but why don't you bump that up a little bit? You know, lengthen your sword a little bit. Maybe hold your sword with one hand instead of two. Strengthen that forearm just a bit so that when you're in an actual battle, you can actually stand toe-to-toe with your enemy instead of getting defeated by guys with forks. I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual battle. And you know what? You can be like these social media Christian influencers out there that think they're just doing a great... Oh, because their stupid little video went viral about, you know, how whatever there is. I don't know what liberals talk about, but, you know, some stupid video out there. You know, and, oh, they're making such an impact. Are you really, though? Are you really making an impact? No, the impact that you can make stems from your use of the sword, okay? And if you're reading a false version of the Bible, you're definitely not making an impact. Right. You know, if you're using an NIV, an ESV, you know, an NASB, oh, but I got a New King James Version. You're not doing anything with those versions of the Bible. That's not going to make an impact. Those are the devil's Bibles. And so, well, you know, it's just the King James is so hard to read. Oh, yeah, we wouldn't want you to pick up a really heavy sword to defend yourself with now, would we? You know, if it's a little heavier to read, it's only going to exercise your spiritual muscles that much the more, and you're going to be stronger. I remember years ago when I was at my old church, I was getting into this discussion with this Calvinist who was in my church. And, you know, he was really big on the NASB. Now, he would bring the KJV to church because he didn't want to be disrespectful. He knew there were a KJV only. But I remember having this discussion with him, and he admitted. And this guy was, you know, by Calvinistic standards, was an intellectual. But obviously, if you're using NASB, you know, you're not that smart. So this guy, you know, we're having this discussion, and then he says, look, Bruce, let me just be honest with you. The KJV is a higher caliber weapon. It's a higher caliber than the NASB. And I said, yeah. So I win, right? But that's all he said. And I'm thinking to myself, if it's a higher caliber weapon, and you know that it's a higher caliber weapon, then why are you using that stupid pistol? Why are you using, you know, the paintball gun instead of the AK-47 or whatever? But he chose to continue to go with the NASB, because this is just easier to read. Yeah, you'll get killed easier too. Yeah. Folks, give me the AK-47. Because with the AK-47, I don't know too much about like assault rifles or anything like that. You know, but from what I've heard, they just spray. Is that true? Do they just spray? Am I correct or no? Or can you spray? Is that true? Okay, well. I'm talking about the Soviet AK-47. Is that the one I'm talking about? Am I right? Okay, that's the one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about American AK-47. I'm talking about the Soviet AK-47s. If you shoot an AK-47, I mean, you're pretty much, if the enemy's like right there, you're probably not going to miss. Okay? Exactly. So you know what? With the KJV, you can't go wrong because no matter what you quote from the KJV, it'll hit its mark every single time. Point blank. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, put a KJV in the hand of a kid and you know what? He will mince an adult who uses a false version of the Bible any day. Because it's a KJV. Amen. Learn how to use the Word of God. And look, I want to know more about the Word of God than any assault rifle, by the way. Okay? Plain and simple. So you can mock me for not knowing guns, but I know this gun, though. Better than any weapon there is. So the point that I'm making is that you need to be, you need to familiarize yourself with the sword and use the sword, spar with the sword, hit marks with the sword, because you are in a spiritual battle. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me just say this, because since it's Sunday night, if you're going to say amen, don't yawn when you're saying amen. That sounds weird. You know, yawn first, keep it to yourself, say amen second, amen? All right, here's another thing that we're going to talk about when it comes to spiritual warfare, and that's this. To be a formidable opponent, you got to know who your enemy is. And let me just say this. I'm constantly working as a pastor on showing God's people who the real enemy is. Why? Because Christians sometimes just don't know who the real enemy is. So how do you know that? Because they're so busy fighting the political war than the spiritual warfare. So when you have more Christians fighting a political warfare than a spiritual warfare, that shows you they don't know who the real enemy is. Now, I asked Hike this earlier because I'm not big on chess. Who likes to play chess? Now, if you don't agree, you guys can put your hands down now. Okay, I got you. If you don't agree with this, it's Hike's fault because he gave me this info. I said, what is the goal in chess? And he said to checkmate the king. Is that true? Okay. So let me ask you, is the point in chess to hit all the pawns? Wouldn't you be wasting your time just trying to hit all the pawns? The point is to checkmate the king. Well, you know what? You have a bunch of Christians that's all they're doing is hitting the pawns. You say who? I don't know, like the presidents, the mayors, the governors, all the people that, you know, are under the king. Who's the king? Satan? But yet, you know, you have Christians today that literally kind of are disillusioned into thinking, they're delusional, they're thinking that they're making a difference if they vote in the right person or something like that. It's getting quiet in here. Now, look, there's an election time coming up at the end of the year. And I still stand on what I said a couple years ago. You know, I don't vote. Although, you know, I did say a post where it said that Trump, if he gets voted in, you know, he might, that gas will be like under $2. My voting might just come out of retirement after that. I was like, wow, I might actually vote this time. I don't know. That sounds pretty dang good. No, I don't care about that, honestly. I mean, I care about gas, but not that much. You know, at the end of the day, though, you know, I guarantee you there's going to be a bunch of Christians losing their minds this year. Yeah. Losing their minds over the pawns on the chessboard. Losing their minds trying to defeat all the pawns on the chessboard, not making a lick of difference in the spiritual battle because it has nothing to do with it. That's there to distract you from the real battle. Yeah. Oh, but I want to make a difference in my community. Then go soul winning. Yeah. I want to make a significant difference, though. Yeah, then go soul winning. And lead people in ways of righteousness. Leave all that other stuff, all the community service, to those who are not saved who want to make a difference. Right, yeah. If you're a fundamental Baptist, that's what your primary objective should be, is to get involved in the spiritual battle by winning people to Christ, leading people in righteousness, showing people how to live a Christian life. Yeah. That's a spiritual battle. And I know there might be people in here that don't agree with me. I don't care. This is fact. It's true. And I have to constantly show people, even though they disagree with me and they think, well, I think if we could just do this and help in this way and vote for this, we can make this a Christian nation. This will never be a Christian nation. Yeah, right. You can make a fake one. You can make it look like it's Christian, But I'm not interested in getting involved in an inferior battle by targeting pawns. And you know what? A lot of Christians, the reason they get that way is because they're always listening to the wrong people. That's what it is. Folks, you understand how easily impressionable Christians are? We're easily impressionable. So what do you mean? You know, we will become like the people we listen to. Fact. We will become like the podcast that you're constantly listening to. You know, you will become like your favorite whatever podcaster or YouTuber, conspiracy theorist. You know, you will become that way and you will think like them because you're constantly listening to them. God has given us the free will to choose who we listen to because of the fact, and he's commanded us to not give our ears unto fables. Why? Because we are easily impressionable. We're easily influenced. It's easy for us to just listen to 10 podcasts and all of a sudden be one to that side. You know, and now they're convincing you that if you just get rid of all the pawns, everything will just be okay. It's not going to be okay. The pawns is not the point, my friends. Checkmate the king. You know, I missed the part in 1 John chapter 2 that says, you know, you voted for the right guy and you've overcome the wicked one. You voted the right people in and have overcome the wicked one. No, it doesn't say that now, does it? Because you don't overcome the wiles of Satan by getting involved in the physical battle. And you know, I know it's not as glamorous, and I know it's not as fun, and it's not as, you know, most Christians view that battle as being more superior, but who gives a rip what the majority of Christians say? Why don't you stick with the Bible? And look, here's proof that people are listening to the wrong people, fact, and that's because of the fact that Christians in California are always moving. And the ones who are moving are the ones who aren't listening. The ones who are moving because they're listening to fear mongers. We have a person in our church who was one of those people for a time. And he even said, like, I was super close to moving to Florida. You know, he was just like, and I'm like, oh man, I would have chose Texas before Florida. But it's one of those things, like, you know, it's like the NIV, ESV type, you know what I mean? He's like, he was close to moving to Florida, but you know why? It's because of, he said, all I would listen to is the fear-mongering propaganda, the conservative propaganda, all that stuff that they're constantly pumping through. He says, I would always listen to it, and it got to a point where he's just like, I got to get out of here. I got to go. It's getting crazy out here. I got to go to Florida. But then he switched it off and started listening to, like, preaching, the Bible. He started coming to church, reading his Bible. And you know what? The little boogie monster went away. And he realizes, he's like, well, it's so crazy because none of that stuff really happens. Everything that they're claiming was going to happen to me never happened. It's just a boogeyman. But you know, some of you guys like the boogeyman, though. Some of you guys like, you're like these people who like to get scared. You know, they go to the haunted houses during Halloween or whatever. You're like one of those spiritual people who just love to be afraid. I remember years ago, I used to listen. I think I turned on like Alex Jones. I saw his stuff and I was just like, he just gave me anxiety. Because I saw like one episode of Alex Jones and I was like, crap, the world's coming to an end. Like, the Muslims are at my door right now. And it was just like, I was like, get to it. And he's like, I'm going to show you something. And he's just like, and I remember thinking to myself, like, ah! It's just this constant barrage of anxiety and fear-mongering. And here I am, and this stuff just never happened. And here's the thing, folks, is that, you know, sometimes it's not even, you're not even fighting pawns. You're like, you're allowing the pawns to just like serve you. So even though you think you're taking a pawn here and a pawn there, the reality is this, is they're taking you off the board. And he said, you know, once I actually just turned everything off, and here's the attitude of a lot of people. Yeah, but if we turn it off, what, you know, we're not going to know what's going on. Yeah, that's good. Because most of what they say is going on is a complete lie. I can't tell you how many times I saw on social media last week videos of people, and I'm not saying there wasn't any floods, okay? I know there was floods in California. But I literally saw a video of this massive flood, and they're like, look at California, God's judging California. It's like, I saw this video like 5 years ago. It was from like Argentina. This is not even in America. This is like, so, and I just so happened to know that because I remember that footage. It was like in some, I don't know if it was Argentina, but somewhere in Central or South America. Definitely not United States of America. And you know what? People are like, yeah, that's what California deserves. Just completely believing the propaganda. And I'm sure that people who are watching that video, who used to live in California, were like, yeah, see, that's why I left. Oh, yeah, because the tornadoes and hurricanes are so much better. Yeah, but you guys got earthquakes. You guys have funnels coming down from the sky, ripping roofs off your houses and taking your dog. That's not fun. But this is, look, folks, it's amazing how much influence the media really does have. And there's people who understand the dangers of media while they're still being sucked in by the media. It's just that they're allowing themselves to be influenced by people in the media who claim to be on their side. You know, the only ones who we have on our greatest ally is not Israel, is not the libertarians of this world. Here's our greatest ally. Here's our greatest allies right here. And you don't realize how sensitive you actually are to the information they're pumping through social media outlets until someone on the outside tells you, hey, you're acting like you're scared. You know, you're acting like a person who just doesn't read the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And let me just tell you, I haven't met anybody who buys into all that nonsense and has a sound mind. Doesn't exist. And so it's important for us to know who the real enemy is, my friends. Who's the real enemy? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so what the Bible's telling us here is that our weapons are not fleshly weapons. They're not fought in this physical world. They're fought in the spiritual realm by us tearing down the strongholds of Satan, the lies that Satan promotes and propagates. How do we do that? Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The best way for you to tear down some of those libertarian, conservative, Republican strongholds that you have is cast that stuff down and exalt the Word of God above everything else. And look, here's a danger sometimes when people get sucked into that crowd. Here's the danger is you'll show them Scripture and you're like, well, yeah, I know, but still, you know. But still what? That you're saying that is exalted above the knowledge of God. Folks, this is the real battle. This is the real fight. And we need to realize who the real enemy is. And of course, you know, the real enemy, believe it or not, is not Biden. He's just a pawn. The real enemy is Satan. And obviously, there's people who work for Satan. But let me just tell you where Satan is making the greatest, he's achieving the most, he's winning the most people over, is not necessarily through the political realm, it's through religious realms. Plain and simple. You know, these false religions that are being put out there, these false ideologies that are being promoted, those are all from Satan. And, you know, I know that's not as glamorous as going to some Trump rally somewhere. And don't get me wrong, you know, the Trumpsters, they're cool sometimes. You know, it's fun sometimes, you know. Because you got people there who are sincere and you know, they do stand for certain, you know, biblical values. But let me just say this, is the Christers are superior to the Trumpsters. And are making a far greater impact. You really think Jesus is any Trump rally? You think his presence is in any Trump rally? You think the presence of God is there? I mean, if you do, you're an idiot. Because he's not there. You know who's at Trump rallies? Fags are at Trump rallies. Faggots are at Trump rallies. Because there's conservative faggots. There's conservative Republicans. I dare say there's probably also conservative libertarian or faggot libertarians. It exists. Because that stuff is not based off of what the Word of God says. Satan is our enemy. And the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I know when I preach something like this, I lose people. Because people, they don't agree. There's people in our church who don't agree with what I'm saying right now. Plain and simple. But you think I care, though? You think I preach because I'm worried that you won't agree with me? No, I'm telling you the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And you can't refute with what I'm saying if I'm preaching it from the Word of God. The only Trump that I've seen in the Bible is in the book of Revelation. It has nothing to do with the president. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the Bible says. So it's showing us, this is a spiritual battle, and Satan has some trickery up his sleeve that he's going to try to use to deceive you. Now, look, none of you are going to be deceived by liberals. It's just not going to happen. But you know what? You know what? Satan does have tiers of pawns that he uses for different people. The liberal crowd, they're being deceived by just some of the, the baser sort. It doesn't really require much to deceive them. You understand? So he needs to pull out all the stops for those who are a little bit closer to the Bible. Which is why, he uses Americanism, conservatives, libertarians. Why? Because it's just close enough to the truth that makes you think it's okay. And this is how Satan operates all the time. You're not going to be deceived by Hindus and by Buddhists. But Christians can be deceived by non-denom churches and things that are close to, why? Because it's close, it's in close proximity to the truth. And Satan doesn't just have one stop, one tactic, one wile. No, he uses a variety of ones in order to deceive people and Christians. And obviously, he's not going to try to fight you to take away your salvation because that can't be taken. But he can fight you to a point and deceive you to a point where you're just rendered useless. Because you're too busy fighting a battle on the other side that does not count. It's not going to count for eternity. There's nothing at the judgment seat of Christ where Jesus said, you voted for the right guy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be thou over 10 cities. You did a good job, man. I voted for him too, It's just not going to happen. It says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's referring to those entities, those demonic entities that are influencing the rulers of this world. Understand? And so the answer is not to get Biden out of office, although everyone would appreciate that. But let me just give you a reality check that many people just don't like. If they remove Biden and get a conservative into the White House, it's still bad. Yeah, but it's a lesser evil. Well, that's funny. I've never seen the lesser evil in the vote for a lesser evil in the Bible. They're just going to get someone in the office. You guys understand? Like they talk about left wing, right wing, but you ever thought about who's in the middle? These are two wings on the same bird. You know why? Because at the end of the day, Satan is the one in control. And you're not going to make a difference riding on the left or the right wing. The difference that you make is by shooting down the bird. Not riding it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:10, it says, to whom ye forgive anything, verse 10, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, a lot of Christians are ignorant of the devices of Satan, but what the Bible is telling us here is that the information is available to you so that you're not ignorant of his devices. So learn your enemy. Know who the real enemy is. It's not your neighbor. It's not even the liberal crowd who doesn't adhere to what the Bible says. That's not our enemy. And look, you know what the last 4 years have done? It's caused Christians to become callous towards people. Because it's gotten to a point where, like, if you see someone with a mask on, which, by the way, we understand it's stupid to wear a mask. But it's almost as if Christians even, look down upon and despise people who wear masks. I thought you were a Christian. I thought you're supposed to show compassion towards people. Doesn't the Bible say to condescend to men of low estate? To be kind to those who are feeble-minded? To those who are deceived? But then like you have Christians who just like despise people who wear masks. They mock them. They hate them. It's just like, dude, it's a soul though. You know, you're fighting the wrong battle. That's not the enemy. That person is not even a piece on the chessboard. And yet you've made that your enemy. You know why? Because of the media and all that crap that you're listening to has caused you to think, has caused you to move the goalpost of who the real enemy is. And now he's causing you to go after and despise those who need Christ. They need salvation. Yeah, they got a lot of stupid beliefs. And then wearing a cloth over their mouth. But you know what? You're not, and it doesn't make you any better than them. But why don't you go win them to Christ instead of criticizing them? And saying how stupid they are. Look how dumb they are. And obviously, it is ridiculous when someone's riding a car by themselves with the mask on. Okay? But do we really need to humiliate people if that's what they do? You know, are we Christians? Don't we see beyond the physical realm into the spiritual realm? And recognize that there's deception out there. And recognize that there's a lost and dying world that needs Christ. And we shouldn't base our faith upon whether someone wears a mask or not. Don't let Texas and all these conservative red states influence your way of thinking. Oh, man, they're wearing a mask. So what? Give them the gospel anyways. Plain and simple. Yeah, but they're not that easy to win. Who cares? We're supposed to be impartial. Preach the gospel to everyone. Yeah, but what if they're a reprobate? Then you're just relocating to a lower hell there by giving them more truth. But you know what? I'm telling you, over these last 4 years, in my observation, I've seen more Christians become cold towards people who even if you're like, oh man, there's people out there that still believe in COVID. Yeah, so what? There's people out there who believe in false religion. You're late to the party. There's people out there who believe in worse things than just COVID. They believe in a false religion. How about that? Oh man, they actually believe all that stuff that happened. Yeah, weren't you at one point also tossed to and fro? Didn't you have to get saved too? Weren't you deceived by false religion? Weren't you a Catholic before? Weren't you someone who actually believed that the Pope had some sort of divine authority? Weren't you a Pentecostal one time thinking you could lose your salvation or something? Yeah, it's pretty stupid, right? But yeah, you know what? Someone gave you the gospel, got you saved, had compassion upon you. And you know what? If this person who wears a mask and believes in COVID, it's real. You know what? They've been duped by that. You know, God forbid that should ever happen to us. But we should never look down upon someone's soul because of that and impede us from actually loving them and having compassion upon them. Why? Because it's the Christian thing to do. That's why. You know, stop being cold-hearted towards people. Stop being angry and mean with people who are just completely deceived by Satan, by the liberal media, and telling them all these, you know, that's got to stop, my friends. We're Christians before anything else. We're fundamental Baptists, amen? We have the truth. And you know what? We should have bowels of mercies for people who have been deceived by that. Christians shouldn't mock people like that. But you know, that's what social media is also filled with. Just mocking a bunch of unsaved people. And you know what? The person who wears a mask and believes in COVID but is saved is way better off than the person who doesn't wear a mask, is in the mountains somewhere, knows that COVID was all fake, but they're going to split hell wide open when they die. Who's going to have the last laugh then? Looks like you're the stupid one because you rejected Christ as your Savior. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This is a spiritual battle. You know what? I'm giving you a spiritual reality check tonight. I'm stepping on your toes tonight because I'm trying to wake you up to the legitimacy of this battle that we're in. And, you know, I might have to preach some more sermons like this throughout the year just to make sure everyone's, you know, they're tuned into the Bible, they're tuned into spiritual matters. And you know what? If you don't agree with me, that's completely fine, but just say you don't agree with the Bible. Plain and simple, because I'm just showing you what the Bible says. You know what? And here's the thing. You know, the same people who disagree with me are going to agree with me all day long if Trump gets into office. They're going to be chilling the entire 4 years. You know, they're going to be all... They only start panicking when a liberal's in the office. But then everything's all good and easy peasy, lemon squeezy, once the conservative's in the office. I can care less whether it's a liberal or conservative. Because God's still on the throne. It doesn't change what I believe, doesn't change what I do, doesn't change my mentality. It doesn't change who I fear. It doesn't change how much Bible I read. It doesn't change if I go soul winning. I'm the same person no matter who's in the office. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know who our enemy is? False religion. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the people who are caught up in the false religion. I'm talking about people leading the false religions. Those are my enemies. You know, I hate them with perfect hatred. Every faggoty pedophile priest, every, you know, what do they call the Muslim teachers? Imams. You know, every imam, every Catholic priest, every Orthodox priest, every Pharisee and Jew, and, you know, the teachers out of the Talmud, every single one of those spirits, those are my enemies. Because they actually, every Mormon is my enemy who's out there knocking on doors, damning people to hell. Those are my enemies. So I have no bowels of compassion for false prophets who make it their living preaching a false gospel and damning people to hell. Who do I have compassion for? The people they're deceiving. That's why I have no problem with, you know, if you or me rebuke some sort of false prophet at our door, they deserve, in fact, they deserve a little more than that. They need to be Levi Williamed, okay? That's an inside joke. I'll tell you about it later. Can't say it online. You know, they deserve a lot more than that. But you know what? I have a lot of compassion for those who are deceived by them. Muslims are not my enemy. Muslims are people who just need to be saved. I love Muslims. And believe it or not, you know what? I love Jews too. You know what I'm against? I'm against those Jews who go out of their way digging tunnels to do wicked stuff in those tunnels. I'm not against Catholics. I love Catholics. Catholics are some of my favorite people to win to the Lord because they're so receptive. You know, I hate the priest. I hate the Pope. I hate the bishop. Hate them. Why? Because that's what they spend their life doing, is damning people to hell. What am I showing you? I'm showing you who the real enemy is. The real enemy is not the Catholic who's been deceived by them. The real enemy is the one who's doing the deception. It's false religion. Now, what do we do about that? Well, we got to go vote. Amen? This year is the year for you to make a difference. No, you know what we do? We go soul winning is what we do. And you know what? If that's not enough for you, you're definitely in the wrong battle. If that's not enough for you, you will see what a difference it makes when everything's said and done. And I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of saved conservative, Republican, libertarian, blah, 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 at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's just going to be a bonfire of an encounter. Because all their time is invested in the wrong things. Yeah. Preach the gospel. You know what God says? 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 24 says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Our job is literally to rescue people. That's what it is. You know, I was talking to someone at Starbucks today, and they were talking about how their family member died. And, you know, they're going through a tough time, and they're like, yeah, you know, the funeral was at a Catholic church. And the first thing that came to my mind was like, that person for sure is in hell. If this person was a Catholic, they died at the age of 90, they're in hell today. And as she's talking to me, like, her voice just faded. And all I can think about the fact is this grandma is in hell. You know, that's the harsh reality right there. That if that person was not saved, tonight they are in hell, burning for all of eternity. They will be there forever. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? We need to think about those things. You know, meditate upon the realities of hell rather than the reality of who's going to take the office later on this year. You know, if you feel like you have a calloused heart, take a couple minutes and think about hell. Take a couple minutes and just meditate upon the flames of hell and those who are there. You know, I think about the fact that the majority of my family and my ancestors are probably all in hell. Because I'm like the first one to get saved out of my family. I don't know any Christians in my family. They're probably all in hell. There's a lot of people. There's people who died today who are in hell. And that is the reality. You want to get inspired about something? Think about the fact that hell exists, my friends. And you know what? It depends on you. It's on you. It's on you to get them saved and save them from the flames of hell. Stop wasting your time in the wrong battle. Get yourself in the actual battle to rescue people out of the flames of hell. Know that the spiritual battle is real, and no, it's not in some ballot. It's not in some campaign to uplift that which is abominable in the eyes of God. Because everything that is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. Get in the battle by actually getting someone saved. You want to make a difference? That's how you'll do it. Amen. Do some soul winning. You know, the real enemy is the world system that many Christians are actually feeding into. The real enemy, listen to this, is our flesh. How about that? You know, people readily recognize the enemy of Satan and the enemy of the world system, but then they capitulate to their flesh, which is worse in conjunction, sometimes even with Satan, to impede you from obeying God, from serving God. It just makes you completely immobile and sterile towards the things of God. I hope one of your goals in 2024 is to subject your body. To keep under your body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when you preach to others, you yourself should be a castaway. What do you mean by that? I don't mean subject your body by losing weight. That's a good thing. I don't mean subject your body by going and hitting the gym. That's a really great thing. I mean subjecting your body by making it do what God wants it to do, reading the Bible, praying, soul winning, bringing it to church to listen to preaching, keeping sin out of your life, being a spirit-filled person. Because a spirit-filled person is not just for the pastor, it's not for the evangelist, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for everyone to be spirit-filled. And you know what? Yeah, you may not be involved in alcohol, you may not be involved in weed and fornication, but you know what? Why don't we take care of that pride a little bit? Why don't we brush up on that apathy and that cold-heartedness also? Walk in the spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what the Bible tells us? Let me read to you from 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God is saying, you know what, if you're going to strive for masteries, if you're going to be warring, you can't be involved with the affairs of this life. And look, there's a lot of noble things that people can get involved in this world that are not necessarily bad. A lot of community things that you can get involved in that are good things, but you know what? They're not expedient things, though. All things are lawful unto you, but listen to this, not all things are expedient. And the Bible says that we should not involve ourselves in the affairs of this life. I remember back at my old IFB church, they used to talk about pastors who were hellfire, damnation preaching pastors who were making a big difference, and they got so involved in the political realm that they stepped down from being a pastor to become a political leader, a mayor, a governor. And to them, it was like them stepping up, but really what it is them stepping way down.
Yep, that's right.
Way down. You know, and they just bought into all the propaganda. They thought they would make a better difference, a greater difference like that, but folks, let me just give you a reality check. It's a fool's errand. That pastor would have made a greater difference leading people, restoring families and marriages, teaching people how to raise their children, winning people to Christ. But I know that's not as glamorous as that other stuff, but who cares? If we're going to war and obtain the masteries and obtain the crowns, you know what? We can't get involved in the things of this life. You got to keep focus on what the priority is in our Christian life. And this is what the sermon is all about. It's just to kind of help you focus in. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Because I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm telling you this because of the fact that this is a spiritual battle. You know what? You need to refocus a little bit again. You need to kind of get that lens and just focus it in a little bit because you're getting off track here. Hey, this is a reality check to tell you, hey, you stop reading your Bible, you need to pick it up again.
Amen.
Hey, you're getting a little worldly, you need to get a little more holy again. Hey, you're neglecting your family and spiritual matters, it's time for you to fix that. Hey, you're listening to the wise men of this world more than the wise men of this book and those who are preaching it. You need to think about that. Here's your monthly reality check. We're Christians.
Amen.
And you're in a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. You're starting to get entangled again with the affairs of this life. Untangle yourself. That's who the enemy is. Go to 2 Corinthians. Actually, no, stay in Ephesians. Stay in Ephesians. I got to finish up because I'm already past time. Our flesh. Got to fight our flesh. And, you know, sometimes the danger of what I've observed as a pastor is that sometimes Christians are content with going to church, but, you know, they're just not necessarily improving in the practical matters of the Christian life. They're soul winning, which is great. But sometimes they don't want to improve in the practical aspects of the Christian life. Both of them are important, my friends. Preach the gospel, but clean up your life too. Preach the gospel, but lead your family too. Preach the gospel, but you know what? Keep your husband in love with you and keep your wife in love with you. Raise your children for the Lord, amen? You know, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the old man, the old conversation, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, the Bible says. It's a constant command to remind us on a daily basis, I need to put off the old man and put on the new man. I need to walk in the spirit. I got to realize, you know, I'm in a spiritual battle. I'm raising kids here. I'm raising my sons. I'm raising my daughters. And you know what? I need to keep in mind that I'm raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not your favorite farmer out there and what they think you should be raising your kids as. Nurture and admonition of the Lord, not what your favorite podcaster thinks. Nurture and admonition of the Lord, not what your favorite, whatever, family-oriented podcast who's a Mormon thinks. Of the Lord. God put enough in here for you to have the wisdom to raise your family. And I'm just telling you, you know, Satan is really good at just inserting subtle things so you can make incremental changes without even knowing it. A little Mormonism here, a little Mormon influence here. You know, and I keep saying social media because I'm on social media and I see some of the stuff that goes on. I saw a video of this guy and I was like, man, this guy's cool. He makes all these like, he just does these survival videos. He's this white guy. Oh, that's why it was recommended to me. Okay, now I got it. You know, he does these like ice houses, like if he's in the mountains, he knows how to cut out ice and so that you won't freeze in there and all these things. I'm like, oh man, this guy, you know, he knows how to make fires and, you know, live like a caveman, you know, all that stuff, you know. He just knows how to survive. And then I was just kind of like watching his videos, like, wow, this guy's really cool. And he seems like a really nice guy. And I think he's really nice. He's really cool, you know. And then he's like, let me tell you about my faith. He's like, I was on the mission field for this many years. And I'm like, mission field? And then you see that stinking white shirt, the shorts, that dang short sleeve shirt with that freaking black name tag. It's like, it's a Mormon. I have to go through all the videos and like unlike his stuff, you know? I'm like, man, they infiltrated me. They got me to like a Mormon, you know what I mean? Ah! I just feel like dirty. Oh, you're exaggerated. No, I'm just cloaked with the zeal have the cloak of zeal upon me. That's what it is. You know, when you're a little zealous, that stuff bothers you a little bit. You know, if it doesn't bother you, then you know what? You might want to clothe yourself with a little zeal.
Yeah.
Might want to go get yourself a little cloak there, looking a little naked there. Not very zealous or enthusiastic about the things of God. Not really offended by the things that offend God. They do it like that. They'll insert it little by little. And lastly, you know, being a formidable opponent means being properly equipped and armored. So it's not really, if it's not enough to just be filled with the Spirit and put on the new man, God also commands us to put on certain things even on top of that. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Righteous living. It's practical righteous living. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you are prepared to just drop the gospel and preach the gospel at any given moment. It's in your heart. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is that? You know, be fully persuaded in the promises of God. You're not easily scared. You know, when Satan tries to come at you with fiery darts and make you afraid of the economy and the gas and all these things that are taking place, you just got that shield and you're like, God's got me. He's going to take care of me. You quench those fiery darts. It says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. What is that? Just having a ready mind. Being vigilant. Having a ready mind for whatever happens. Verse 8, it goes on to say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We cover that, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Sounds to me that like he's talking about armor and swords and shields. Sounds like a fight or something. Are we supposed to be fighting or something? Yeah. But I'm sure, you know, the Apostle Paul was just trying to throw in filler stuff and chapter 6 or something. You can go on about your day and just, you'll be all right. Just keep listening to your favorite, whatever, be influenced by whatever. Don't read too much. Hey, don't be so radical about the Christian life. Don't get so overly radicalized by the Bible. Just, you know, just be a good Christian. What's wrong with a little Mormon entertainment? A little Chosen here and there? Fooey with that. I want to be a formidable opponent. I want to be the one in 1 John chapter 2 that says, you've overcome the wicked one because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you and you've overcome the wicked one. And let me just say this. Here's the last thing and I'm done. I guarantee you the majority of Christians don't win. Now we win in the end. But most Christians never get to this point where it could be said of them, you've overcome the wicked one. You're a formidable opponent. You've defeated it. Why? Because it's hard to do these things. It's hard. It's hard to get up Monday morning to do these things. But you know what? This is what's necessary if you're going to save yourself and them that hear thee from false doctrine, from the wiles of Satan, from the temptations of your flesh, from all the rudiments and philosophies of this world that are trying to deceive you to make you an inferior Christian in this world. I hope you're working on it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you for this reminder. I know there's a lot of hard truths here. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as your people, to peel back the veil, the spiritual veil, Lord, and help us to realize what is actually going on. And righteous living is a good thing. And sometimes if we've cleaned up our lives, we can think that we've arrived. But at the end of the day, there's just new levels, new devils. And so we need to be aware of the constant deception that's going on out there that is trying to take our attention away from the real battle, the real war at hand. And I pray that you'd help us to do so as a church, Lord. May your hand be upon First Works Baptist Church and the members. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing I'd Rather Have Jesus. If you need a song sheet, please keep your hand raised and the ushers will come by and give you one. I'd rather have Jesus. Brother Ron over here needs one. Brother Ron, Brother Cody. All right, everybody's got one. We're going to see it on that first verse. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. Be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungry spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.